Good, good, good. So, what's on your mind this wonderful afternoon? Weather's getting good, I know that.
What's on
It's
my mind tonight?
beautiful. It's tax season. I know we talked about that, think the delay last year, everybody's double concerned this year, so. But it's not a bad thing. Like we talked about, it gives you an excuse to kind of see where you're at, and it's not a bad time with the market where it's at, so.
Yeah, it's good. Good. So how's Supernova?
I think pieces are good. I'm still working on getting organized. I think the financial planning is going well. I've got some projects to work on with Cindy so that we can kind of work on that together. I talked to the WAA today and she's on board to help with that as well. So that way we're all kind of working together and keeping the client engaged to get it up and running, and then me and Cindy can work together to kind of, keep them involved and get it done. And then the implementation comes back after that, but just kind of reorients the conversation. And
I think you're getting some, I don't know where Kyle, where the feedback is coming. We've got a little feedback loop. Try it again.
that could be me on mute.
Kyle's on, oh, there he is. Yeah.
So
okay, I'll try it
I was
again.
just gonna say the I need I'm working on getting organized, but the financial planning between me and Cindy, getting the client engaged and through the initial process to get it set up, and then using Nacera to get the plans built and really presenting the plans just kind of reorients the kind of the client's perspective, I think. But yeah, I think the financial planning is going well. I'm seeing the results with the people I have met with and gone over them. I'm seeing the results and how the conversation changes after that. I'm also finding that it builds my confidence to handle the plan without Keith or with him, whether he's there or not, but it gives me an area to kind of have a an area I hone in on, with or without help. So that's kind of nice too. And it builds a relationship with clients who I don't know very well yet, to kind of dig into that stuff. But yeah, a lot of organization issues, for me is a, is one thing I'm working on, but yeah, we've had some good referrals recently. We've had,
Great.
we have not been doing very well in terms of getting any segmentation done. Just
Well, that just
staying busy.
segmentation is a function of frustration. You'll never really need to segment or want to segment as long as you're not sufficiently frustrated. You know, if you get frustrated and you feel and the guilt gets big enough, then segmentation becomes rational. And that's why we did it. We couldn't compete, with the ultra high net worth clients when we had too many clients. So we had to get skinny in order to compete and give the level of service that Supernova is. I mean, we did that in order to beat them. But when you're, it works. I mean, the 1242 works because people love it and they want to talk to you and they give you more money and they refer business because of it. So it's a differentiator in the market and allows you to, but you can't do it and have a lot of, have 300 clients. You gotta limit the number of clients, but you know, if you're growing and you're getting referrals and you're doing business and nobody's leaving, then you're in that lucky spot. you're in the fortunate spot, you know, either before something is going to happen or it never happens, but there's a storm out there.
Yeah, that storm usually starts the minute the market turns south. So,
and Keith, that's what people have said to me. I don't want to have, you know, 600 clients, 300 clients, whatever, when the next time we go into a bear market. I'm too old. I don't want to do it anymore. Get me skinny. Help me get skinny so I have good clients, only the good clients left and the ones that I'm not going to get beat up by. And that's the reality. But there's, you know, it takes work and effort and discipline to get skinny. And I mean, just like, you know, I know you're a physical fitness buff. You don't do that by accident. That's all it is. You know, I tell people, don't expect to be able to get up the stairs. You want to grow, right? You can't get up the stairs when you weigh 450 pounds. Okay. You got too many clients. Shed the pounds, get up the stairs, get to the next level. You can't get there if you can't walk. And that's, it's the same analogy. It's just, you know, clean the closets, get skinny, get so that you're giving a great service experience. And then you can grow, but you can't, I mean, you can grow, but it is not going to be a managed growth. It's going to be a growth that happens rather than you driving it because you don't have time. If you have too many clients, I write in the book that either you're in charge or the client's in charge, and they're tough taskmasters. And that's the reality. They call when they feel like it. And when they call, they want service. And you may be in the middle of doing something important, and they don't care. So it sort of changes. It's, you know, just sort of the emergency room versus a concierge practice. And, you know, that's why we're in business, because people want that concierge practice experience.
Hey, Rob, if I could ask a question.
Sure.
Kyle, I give you credit for working on the financial planning. That's like the core and core of Supernova as well. Question for both of you guys is, like, out of the top 20% of your clients, how many of them do you think at this point have a real financial plan? Just off the top of your head, Keith, what would you, Kyle?
So I have about 36 life views and I have about 94 GPS. So I've got about 120 plans. I'd say half of those are like fully done. So say 110, 120 plans, I'd say half of them are like fully implemented in terms of monitoring and accuracy. It'd be hard to say how they spread across the book, but they do lean upwards. They tend to skew. They don't hit the middle. They tend to skew higher and lower. It's the lowest clients who want the plan because they just don't know how to make sense of it. And it's clients with enough to be complicated. So that meat in the middle is kind of what is a focus area, who not complicated, no annuities, just a few accounts, a few IRAs and a 401k. And with the asset aggregation, it's a fairly simple process to get that. Just the simple, where are you at? What are you contributing? Is your salary updated? Are you doing a percentage? That's just that alone is so powerful. What do you have here? What's your 401k? Are you contributing? What's your salary? I mean,
his question was how many of the top 20?
I don't know. It's a great question.
I would guess
5-10%.
40%. Okay.
I'm just suggesting that's your sweet spot. You know that.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that probably that's a great place to start. Work down, especially off the, eventually if you get to the segmentation and truly following the supernova process, that's like the beginning. So.
Yeah, we have a saying that he who owns the plan owns the client. And, you know, our challenge was that Oxford Financial came into our community and took and advertised that if you have more than $5 million, you don't belong at a brokerage firm. You belong with us. That we'll do the financial planning for you. We'll take care of everything. We'll help you make all your financial decisions. And we'll only charge you 1% of all your assets. And they were taking our best clients because it had cachet and people were stupid. And so they did it. But it was a dangerous time for us because the top 20, you know, the top 10% of your clients represent 90% of usually your profits in an office. And these guys were going after our best clients. And so what Andy's saying is protect your best clients by having a plan. You know, you can't make people do planning, but you certainly can convince them that they should do planning. And the question is, you know, if you don't charge for it, then there's no reason in the world they wouldn't say yes, except that they're, you know, don't want to pull the numbers together. But if they have any respect for their family and their spouses, they should do it because, you know, who knows what's going on if one of them doesn't get up in the morning, right?
That's a good point. You're already paying for all these things through your overall services and your fees. So why wouldn't you want to utilize it?
I can't imagine somebody not having done that has a lot of money, $5 million above, and not having done estate planning and basic rudimentary planning. I just can't imagine. That would be terrorizing.
Well, I think with Keith having done this for 30 plus years, a lot of them have gone through the process and the discussions many times. It may just not be in the format of these systems, but I've got GPS up on my other screen, but you know, and that visual, but they did just add the financial plans to the Morgan Stanley online, which is helpful because that way, once the client understands how to look at it, they can see a brief update without having to meet with us every single time they want to see if they're still on track.
Can they add and can they, you know, make changes to it, update it?
That's a good question. It's a very new update. I know they can click in to see details. I believe if it's monitored, which means I have attested to discussing it and it's monitored, I don't think they can change it, but they may be able to change it. If not, but it is clickable and it updates every day so that, you know, if they take a big withdrawal, it's going to drop their success rate.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. It's like homepage, totals, breakdown of account summaries, change, and then further down is kind of the bar, best, worst, average, you know, kind of your pie chart.
So you got people that have got time on their hands and they're, you know, you got engineers out there. They'd love that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got 97 GPS plans.
You've been busy.
Yeah, I've got 97 GPS, 57 are monitored. And LifeView just runs in its own system. So it's a little bit, I think LifeView is a better tool, but I don't know that it's a better tool for the client to look at. I think it's a better tool for us as advisors and allocation managers, but I think for the client, GPS is a better presentation. And it flows through to all our systems because it's our tool, not a tool we pay to use from somewhere else.
Can you adjust for concentrated positions?
I would deflect to Aladdin for that, but you can, what you can do is if you have more than a 15% position in the financial plan, you can recognize it and then you can run scenarios of what if, what happens if that stock gets hit by, it's like a sliding bar. So what if that stock gets hit 100%, 50%, 20%, you know, so you can say, wow, if you lose all of your whatever stock, you know, your plans, it makes no difference. If you lose all of it, it screws up everything.
It's part of life view. It just doesn't come up often because we don't have many concentrated positions, but when we do, it has popped as a tool.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of your wealthier people will have, you know, if that's your market anyway, with you guys in financial capital now of the world, Bank of America and all the rest of them there. I would think that you would be seeing some concentrated positions now finally recovered. And a lot of times they just don't want to move those. They don't want to do anything about them. So you almost have to run two separate scenarios, like, okay, leave that Coca-Cola over there, right? We're not going to mess with that. This is your life without that. Because if you start to get into that, then they go crazy. And so anyway, Andy, that was a good question. What else?
Are you asking for me? Oh,
yeah.
I'm just thinking through if I'm like Keith, like no different than him. I've been doing this over 40 years and, you know, once we get set up doing things a certain way, you know, we're okay. Your business is growing. Are you still feel like you're getting the growth besides just the market growth in your practice right now? Like referrals and,
you know. I think we could do more. I think we have potential for more.
Let me comment on that, Kyle. We're my business is our business is so it's more like an asset management firm. You know, we're driven by growth in the market, not by growth in bringing in assets. You know, so you know, right now we're having a good year this year as of the start of this year. A lot of my asset-based fee business was tied to a lot of C-class shares in the previous year that rolled off and dropped to A shares. So it took a pretty significant whack in those, but then we were able to maintain and barely, we were down a bit last year when the market should have taken us up. You know, but now this year, with the transition a lot more into fee-based accounts, now we're really seeing a significant uptick in addition to the assets having grown. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does.
Market's up, I'm up.
I'd say we're gaining wallet share as well. I think as we do plans, as we become more involved with people, the more attention they're getting, like Cindy Waugh. You know, you've been talking to him, you know, people you don't think about, but as they get a little bit of that extra attention from be it Cindy, Keith, myself, the next thing you know, there's a Merrill Edge account or whatever. You know, and it's, you know, maybe it's a $400,000 household, but every additional 50 or 25, you know, or yesterday a $25,000 rollover, you know, just because I asked how his surgery went, you know, and he's just depends. But I think we probably could get more, you know, we get our inherent referrals pretty well.
I'm asking you for a particular reason, because one of the key steps in Supernova is what we call the acquisition phase. And the acquisition phase is how you really grow besides just the growth in the assets in the market. So how do you, you know, get more clients? There's a lot of different ways, just not referrals, but, you know, you can be more strategic about it. And, you know, when I was running the whole sales team, I used to get kidded because I used to use this line all the time. If you ever followed hockey, it's Wayne Gretzky. And Gretzky always talked about skating to where the puck is going, not to where it is. So it's like you said, Keith, you've been through this the cycle so many times, right? And you and I both know there's another cycle coming. We just don't know when. So when your assets are down 30% from where they are today, let's say in a major correction or whatever, you know, what's that going to do to your production? And, you know, how are you going to grow? So Supernova gives you that opportunity consistently over time if you follow a process. That's the reason I just asked you the question is, you know, now would be the time to begin to set it up a bit and position yourself. You know, I was listening to Jamie Dimon from Chase was talking yesterday about, you know, maybe you saw it, guys, I don't know, about, and I sort of agree with it, but I'm not an economist, that the markets are going to run probably for a while. You know, the economies open up. We're going to probably go into 2023 and the markets may continue to run, but at some point, because of the deficit, you know, everybody's a little concerned and there'll probably be a pullback. So it's just, how do you set your practice up long-term to weather those cycles? That's why I ask.
Good.
I think in terms of asset management, we have been incorporating that by utilizing the UMA system because you kind of install parameters. You really can't drift but so much before you auto rebalance. So we're trying to keep that in mind as we do make changes, but that is a good point, you know. And I think one thought I have, just being completely honest, is sometimes in my head, it's like, do I even have the capacity to deal with another person when I can't keep up with the people we have? So part of it is the feeling of how do we expand when we don't have space for what we have? It just mentally, you know what I mean? Just thinking.
Guide is if you've been doing it a long time, it's hard to give up those relationships and those connections that, like Keith has had, are up 10 years with a family or whatever. I get it. So it's sort of a balancing act and how you want to do it. That's why Rob said segmentation is the hardest part.
Why we avoided it.
What?
That's why we've avoided it inadvertently.
Well, you're exactly right. You can't, you know, my brother, he weighs 270 pounds. Okay. And I don't care how much I encourage him to work out. He's not going to work out. I mean, he gets tired walking down the driveway to pick up the paper. And he's 2 years younger than I am. So it's, you know, when you've got too many clients, you're not really that excited about bringing in another $1 million. It's why? You know, it's not going to move the needle. I'm already busy. I can't keep up with what I got now, but 10 million, well, that would be, you'd have plenty of room for that. And that's the thing. The question is, you know, are you missing the opportunity? Do you deserve the 10 million that's going to somebody else because you're not out there in traffic? That's the key. You know, I always said to my FAs, they said, I'm so busy, I'm da 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 da. And I said, oh, that's too bad. I had a, you know, in those days, I'd say I had a $1 million client that wanted to open an account, but I guess you're too busy. You go, oh, no, I'm good. I can handle that. You know, that's what I always told the guys. I said, keep your desk empty. Make it look like you have plenty of capacity. All right. So the manager doesn't walk by you. You want to look like you got plenty of room. And mentally, you got to have that hungriness. You know, I'm hungry. I want that $10 million client. I don't need another million. I could use a $10 million though. I mean, one of the ways that we help guys segment is to say, okay, for every million you bring in, you get rid of four $200,000 clients. Okay. So then you're not emptying the bench. You don't have to empty the bench. You know, you got to still put the players in, right? You don't want your revenues to drop. So bring in a million, get rid of five $200,000 clients. Now, you may say that math works out. No, that's much better math. Okay. Much better. Five people. Get rid of five.
That's a good point. Just with a couple of referrals in the past couple months. That's
right. You bring in
a million, that's five, ten clients.
Bring in $5 million client, right? And you get rid of 25 clients. Just think about that. So don't bring in any clients that are smaller than your average now. That would be crazy. Bring in big clients and get rid of the little clients. And send them to a good place, you know? Kelly Anderson is the head of your small accounts unit. She used to work for me. She was my operations, my service manager.
Kelly Anderson?
Kelly Anderson. She's great. Tell her I said hello. She built Supernova. She helped me. She worked in the Midwest District. And she's in charge. I just found that out the other day. She's done very well. But she's a sweet, sweet person, and she'll find a person that you can call and assign people to so they won't feel like they're going to a call center, right? So you'll have one person you assign all your accounts to. And then you'll feel like I'm not just abandoning them. And she's a service freak. She's the one that developed the rapid response system, you know. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. She was a super conscientious, hardworking, crazy person. And this VEA, Virtual Engagement Associate Program, is a goldmine. People are asking me all the time, what are other people doing during COVID? I said, they're doing the VEA program. What is that? Virtual Engagement Associates. Virtual Engagement Associate. And they come in and they fix your website. They fix your LinkedIn site. They take care of everything. And then they help you to market. And so it's a team in the Easton Group in Pennsylvania. I'm coaching a whole group of teams in Pennsylvania. And I got them all, pretty much all of them, to hire these virtual engagement associates. They were just raving about it today. Because you guys, I mean, look, the least you can do is have an active internet marketing initiative. So that when somebody Googles you, you look good. Team in Miami, I just talked to, they said, you know, we didn't realize what a mess our website was. The VEA just fixed it up, and they give you a trial period. You can try them out, and they're very inexpensive. You got to pay for them eventually, but it can come out of your pre-tax money, and it's cheap money because you got another person working for you all the time, looking out for you, posting things on the internet to make you look smart and good. So it's a great way to make your, you know, it looks like your team is what you are, which is sharp and good and smart and all that. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I need to get the website, at least I need to get the website taken a look at, because I have not done that yet.
I think that's what we, that was the call today, was that group, wasn't it?
As part of it. That they were more of their, Keith's referring to an internal call we had this morning, Rob, which I think, in my opinion, was pushing some of the ideas within Supernova, just to, in general, to advisors, just using the new tools, not being resistant to change, scalable practices, what clients expect, things like that, just not in the detail. But they did mention you can join their boot camp, and they mentioned the title you just mentioned, the VEA, is another option as well. I just know my website, I don't think, is even up yet. So I know I'm listed on Keith's, but I don't think mine is. So I should probably take a look at that, so it's not just non-existent.
Yeah, it's just leverage, right? If I teach anything to my children, it's capitalism and the use of leverage, right? Leverage is the name of the game. Using your brain and other people's abilities to execute your vision and what you're trying to accomplish. And so if you can have somebody that's working and thinking about you full time or part time, and helping you, and it costs you very little money, that's a good investment. So you don't need to, Kyle, you don't need to go and do that. You're busy. You should be talking to clients. Okay. You should have somebody else doing your website, taking care of your LinkedIn and doing the rest of it. But then they notify, you know, it's like you hired a person to be your marketing director. And these people are pretty amazing. I have never recommended them where somebody said anything bad. They've all come back and said, thank you. And the nice thing is, Keith, you've seen this a million times, right? They get these ideas and they're not self-sustaining. First downturn, the VEAs go away, right? Not in this case, because they are funded by you guys. You pay for them. So they're, you know, it isn't a firm, the firm doesn't need to cut back on them because you're paying for them. I love that. Just think about it. Something's working and then they cut it out because they can't afford it. Well, that's no good. You like self-sustaining operations, and this one is. So it's a good. The other is ESG, and you guys say what you will. You're going to have a whole generation coming to you wanting ESG, and you need to be prepared for it.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel we have a lot of options there as well. Fortunately.
But there's also a lot of BS in it, right? It's like, I liken it to walking into Whole Foods. You know, you think you walk into Whole Foods and you're going to get good food. No. They sell as much junk as anybody. Right?
True.
You gotta know what you're buying, and you gotta read the labels. And that's the same as this. You got the ESG label. You don't know what they're doing it for to sell funds, right?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking of the Morgan Stanley has for a 10,000 minimum. It's essentially a tactical active passive mix, and they called investing with impact, but it's a very low minimum way to get a mutual fund ETF blend. It's mostly Calvert funds, which is ESG, but you know, it's got a few ESG funds that build up. Just like our active passive model, just they swap out some ESG funds in there. But, you know, in terms of a plug and play, Morgan Stanley managed scalable solution, that one is an option. But I try to mention it when the client stands out as someone who might have an interest, outdoorsy people or whatever. But I think it's probably it's probably something that could stand out to more people than I think it does.
I was talking to a guy today and he said he's talking to a group of 10 women who have all just inherited a couple $1 million or have trusts of their own. And they're going to be talking about ESG. Their interest, they need to learn a lot, right? But one of the things that they get is this ESG thing. And so to relate to them and that generation, you got to be able to at least talk the language. So it's, we can talk asset allocation. We can talk a lot of things, but I mean, some people cannot talk ESG because they have no clue what it is. So it's one of those things you need to know in order to be relevant to this whole next generation who's coming quickly around the corner. And the reality is they're, it hasn't hurt performance. In fact, it's kind of management that is awake versus, the asleep companies with the same board of directors for the last 20 years and the same CEO for 20 years and the same, he's president and CEO and runs it like a fiefdom. That model is probably not going to perform as a stock, right? So it's kind of like the semiconductor industry going by Intel while they were asleep. And now they got a new CEO and they're waking up, but is it too late? So when you see an ESG company that's awake, they probably are awake in their industry too, not just on their board. So that's the way I rationalize it. I am a very conservative person, but I'm also a capitalist. and I'm smart. And I know where things are going. So you better be awake. So that's kind of the stuff I pick up from coaching. What are other people doing? What's happening? I'm actually putting two guys together that are both focused on ESG. Kind of fun. They're both very creative guys. So if you have a specialty or you'd like to be connected to somebody else and learn from them, it's part of what I do. Connect people. Right, Andy? We're connectors. It's part of our marketing. All right, guys. Any questions?
I'm okay. I think for me, I need to get myself organized. And then Cindy, again, like we talked about yesterday, we can sit down and kind of break down in more detail how we can kind of help each other out. Cause Cindy's done a great job of picking up with this type, with our business and the way it works and running with it. So now that we've kind of settled a little bit, we can kind of figure out ways to enhance the outcomes of what we're doing and, efficiency. So,
yeah, I think if you listen, she can be a good teacher.
Yeah, I think if there's an area we need to implement, it is the, we've got some people on the scheduled calls, but we haven't poured the whole group into that. And I don't know that we need to be at 100% yet, but we need to be a lot more because we're losing track of who we need to be. People are falling off the flywheel, from the standpoint of, regular contact, and unless they pop back in and you think you've got them, and you're managing them in your mind, but if people fall off and you haven't contacted them in a while, and usually, you notice when you get an ACAT, that you haven't contacted in a while, but there needs to be a regularly scheduled set of calls. So, and that's something we need to go probably bring Cindy into the fold in on your format is to that spreadsheet, and then it somehow spits out into a system that keeps us on a regular calendar.
Cindy, have you talked to our Cindy?
I don't think so.
Cindy Bowie, B-E-U-O-Y. She'll set you up with a scheduler, which will make your life like 100% easier. And you just drop the client's names into it, and it automatically schedules out the year. Yeah, it's really simple. And you can do that with Outlook, but the difference is this is 12-4-2. This will tell you when you have what calls. You know, when was the last time we did, you know, and you can do different things in the, you know, the regular calls can be just regular calls, and the four can be reviews of the plan, and two of them can be in person. That's what we recommend, but you can do kind of anything you want with that 12-4-2 model. But the idea is that it does the work for you, so you don't have to, you know, try and do the math of how am I going to balance this out so I only have so many calls each day. So the guys will have only a maximum of 5 calls in one day. It won't allow any more than that unless, you know, you jam it.
Okay.
It's 100 each.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll reach out to her and get with her.
And you can schedule butlers too, where you do them 4 times a year. So the children of your best clients can go in there automatically, and you'll schedule them 4 times a year, 4 reviews, one of them in person. So it basically, it's an insurance policy against loss of clients. If you want to think of it, it's not very expensive. It just takes your time. So you would love that. And then we recommend the use of these folders because they don't break and you got all the information in there. And, even though computers are wonderful, we think the folders, are timeless.
But how would the folders wouldn't quite, is that so everybody can view it? And if that's the case.
Yeah, you can use an electronic version of the folders, right? Okay. For information and agendas and executive summaries and things like that. But for the guys, you know, to have something that they can hang on to and take notes in and then put them in the computer, it's just, it's easy for me because, you know, we recommend that you have all the information about the client here. So you can look at one folder open on your desk while you're talking to the client and not have to go back and forth to a page that tells me about the client. Mm-hmm. Or refer to a computer. It may seem archaic, but you know, we've been doing thousands of teams coaching them and probably had one or two that wanted to do it electronically. Even in COVID, they still like the folders. So, you know, and we send the folders to the client. They get their own folder and we teach them to call. Don't call us during the middle of the month. Write it down. Write down your question and call when you have your regular call. So the phone calls stop. No more phone calls because everybody knows they're going to get called once a month. So it actually is more efficient and takes less time than answering all the emergency calls. And then everybody's prepared and you do it a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance. And so you don't get interrupted ever because everything is done ahead of time. It's kind of like doing your homework, on time, studying for the test on time. So you don't have to cram at the last minute, which we all did. Wish we didn't have to. Wish you'd been smart enough to study all along. So it's just a way of getting you organized. And people come to me and say, get me organized, keep me organized. Help me to grow and keep me growing. And we do that. We get you organized, keep you organized. People don't do supernova and then not do supernova. once they do supernova, they always do supernova. And then once they start growing, they always grow as long as they continue the process. But it's all about process.
Having the systems in place.
Having the system in place.
We're not winging it.
No more winging it. No. I was a Navy pilot. You do not wing it or you die. Checklist and process and stay alive. Right? You don't become a great athlete without checklists and process. You guys are corporate athletes. Mentally and physically strong. So, okay, good. I got to go hit some golf balls. Have some fun.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
See you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.